SC Election 2020, brought to you by The Pulse, your place for student news.
So, James, why are you running for Union Development Officer?
So, I feel like over the past year, like, I've done a lot of projects and made a lot of changes and started a lot of work. And as we got around to, like, February and all the COVID stuff starting, it started, like, changing the union's perspective on change. So we had to start planning long term, we had to start adapting our plans in light of that. And I feel like my experience in the role so far has been helpful in doing that over the past couple of months. So it's a mixture of wanting to use that experience to help the union as much as I can and enjoying being able to kind of make change on behalf of students. So kind of a mixture of those two things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it for that one. I'm going to start your manifesto-based questions now. Kind of one of your first points is about reducing union bureaucracy. Could you kind of explain what that means and how you're going to do it?
Yeah, so, like, there's lots of different types of student groups and student engagement with the union. And there's lots of, like, different processes that loads of different people go through. Now, I like processes, I like governance. I think it's really important that we can make sure everyone has a fair and kind of empowered experience that we can support them to do safely. But over the, like, years of developing these processes, they've just kind of built up and built up and built up. So there's so many different hoops. So it's kind of about getting into those processes and realizing what stuff's duplicated, what stuff isn't necessary, and kind of really reducing that down. And kind of the point of that is that we're already inconvenienced enough at the moment by being at distance and having to do extra things to make events or activities or engagement viable. The union just shouldn't be putting, like, extra bureaucracy in place just for the sake of it. So I really want to get it so that students can engage easier than before.
Okay, fantastic. Secondly, what is your proposal for developing support for SRSs?
Yeah, so this is something I was been thinking about a lot this year. And I think the notion, so at the moment we have this notion of an SRS, and we have this a very, very short bylaw which lays out basically nothing about them. And then they aren't given specialist support by staff either. So there's no, they're just kind of treated as any other student group. One of the reasons why that doesn't work is because SRSs are distinct. Like, all of them have very distinct needs. Like, it'd be very odd to compare the theatre to URN to Nightline. And I think what needs to happen there is a kind of individual one-on-one development of an agreement. So I can tell you now what it is that tech need. But there needs to be a process where tech and the union sit down and really figure that out. Mm-hmm. So the plan would be getting involved with them on an individual basis and figuring out their bespoke needs and not just treating them as any other student group in one, like, lump, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. Sorry, were you going to say something else?
No, I was just going to say it's really important that that's led. So it's facilitated by the union, but the ideas themselves come from those SRSs. That makes sense.
Yeah, completely. You mentioned about, obviously, the SU has quite a fortunate financial position. How are you going to continue to ensure that the union's money is spent fairly?
Yeah, so I've talked about our financial position being quite good a few times previously in my president's updates and stuff like that. And last year, when talking about the living wage, one of my big criticisms was, why doesn't the SU pay the living wage despite having £1 million of reserves in the bank? So I'm very happy for the SU to spend the money it has. And because of that, we're in a place now where we're fortunate that we're not going to go bankrupt because of COVID. What's really important, though, is that we become more transparent, so we share that information with students. So at the moment, like, our financial information really is only shared with students at the annual members meeting, which is coming up in 2 weeks, everyone should go. But that's a year backdated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you at the annual members meeting in 2 weeks, we will be sharing the financial accounts for 2018-19.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that that criticism, that accountability, all that kind of praise, either way, is so delayed.
Yeah.
Now, I think one of the ways we could do it, in a way that I'm quite sympathetic to, but I do think this is a kind of, it should be a collaborative project, but one of the ways I'm quite keen on is that we have union councils once per term. Maybe the union's financial information could be shared there and discussed there to make them a bit more of a relevant event. A bit more engagement of the full-time officers, so we do sit on financial committees at the moment, but a kind of a bit more transparency to the students. So we're very good at working with the union on it, but we don't really consult students on that bit. So it's about making sure students can see where our money's going, because it might look like suddenly we're doing less with it, but that's because our commercial income's $500,000 down, or our grants $300,000 down, or however that is. It needs to be really clear what we're doing with that. And there should be opportunity for accountability that isn't a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. And kind of finally, like, obviously your role, that if you did get a union development officer, it is one of the kind of new roles that's been introduced to the SU structure. How are you going to kind of adjust your leadership and your position based on this new structure?
Yeah, so one of the really, really important things about union development officer is, and it's something I tried to do when I was president, but I think is integral to the role of a union development officer, is viewing like the full-time officer team as a team of equals. Now, before, like I was president, but I tried to view it as a team of equals. We kind of operated with a flat structure. But there was always that thing of, yeah, but you could pull that card if you wanted to, and you were always invited to extra things and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really important more than ever that doing the role, one embodies that, and one embodies that you're a member of this team, and that you have a really specific remit. Again, it's one of those presidency things that the remit's not clear, so people just pick items from other officers' areas.
Yeah.
Like, just pick an item from community, say, and do that. Whereas that's not really in the spirit of the role. It's about collaborating with other officers so that they're empowered to deliver on their remits, to develop the union so that any student can make change in the area they want to make change in, not that you're the president and you can do whatever you want. If that makes sense.
Yeah, completely.
Embodying that and kind of embodying that collaborative working, rather than taking the spotlight of a issue in someone else's remit.
Completely. So that's it for the manifesto questions. Just finally now, you've got a little chance here to just say why people should vote for you.
Yeah, well, I think I've got a year's experience in the role. I really enjoy making change on behalf of students, and there's so many projects that the union is undergoing and has undergone that I'm involved with, and I'd be really excited to continue. And I think the really key thing is the same reason I hoped people would have voted for me last year, which was that I am a big advocate for unionism and the union for its members first, whether that be members of liberation groups, other campuses, or anything like that. The most important thing to me is that the union is serving its members before it serves anyone else.
Why are you running for union development officer?
The specific role, because it's so fundamental in its nature, and I believe that the SU has some core things that need changing, which the union development officer can do through structural and institutional changes. I'm running for an SU officer role in general because I think that I can achieve that change with the experience having a law degree and being part of the Law Society. My understanding of the law and stuff will definitely help, but it's also being part of that community and actually representing the student voice that I believe has just got a bit lost over the past few years.
Oh, yeah, kind of in link to what you were saying there about the changes to the structure of the SU, obviously James Feasey put forward a lot of changes to the structure of the SU this year. As union development officer, how are you going to face the challenges that this might bring?
It's about connecting with the students and helping them to understand what the changes are, because I think that's where a lot of the confusion is. And the focus needs to be on the future, well, as well as the present, and not to dwell what has happened in the past, because we don't achieve anything by doing that. I want to face them head on. I wouldn't be running for this position if I were scared of the challenges that James has set up. But I mean, they're good challenges, and I think they're things that every officer has got to face to prove to the students that they can overcome them, you know. And I want to use social media to keep students in touch with what the officers are doing, and to be transparent to the students. And therefore, if we are open with them, hopefully we can receive their help through forums and stuff to, yeah, as I said, overcome those challenges.
How would you go across trying to communicate with students on social media?
Monthly roundups on Facebook. I really like how Jake Collier does that. I feel like it's quite personal, but not just the mainstream social media sites. It's about using things like WeChat so that we can connect to those students that don't have a lot of the social media. It's about using emails as well, but not bombarding, because we've had problems with that with the Law Society. And yeah, just being engaging and exciting and interactive and doing what the students want us to do.
So I noticed in the first part of your manifesto you were talking about payment for part-time officers. This has been quite a kind of contentious issue in SU elections in the past. How would the SU and the university pay for these part-time officers?
So I want to massively cut any printing that we do within the SU, because one, I know that that's expensive, and two, it means that we'll become a way more sustainable university. And all the funding that goes towards printing at the moment can be reallocated to the payment of the PTOs. And then I'd also like to do a massive fundraiser per year, which not only brings the students together, it can raise a huge amount of money to put towards the payment of PTOs. And I know that if we do a fundraiser that the students want, they'll engage with it, because I've run fundraisers before, and the sense of achievement when you raise loads of money is immense. It's great. So
moving on, you mentioned about the decentralisation of activities. What do you mean by this?
So at the moment, we have a set of very rigid rules that don't really apply on specific characteristics of each group. I want to decentralise those rules, not necessarily to have a set of rules for each student group, society, sports club, but it's about having a set of flexible guidelines that apply based on things like longevity, size of the group, mode of interaction with their members, and then external links. Because I know that, for example, the men's hockey club, which is the biggest sports club on campus, they have loads of external links, but that's so different, for example, to a very small society that aren't connected outside. We need to have rules that apply in different ways, therefore placing the trust back within the committees that have been elected by their members, so that the societies trust us back. I feel, in a sense, that because of these rules being so rigid, the SU is almost like an oversight mechanism on these sports groups, but it shouldn't be like that. We should be a helping hand, and I feel decentralising these rules will achieve that. At the moment, I don't think it's fair. I think you can't deal with groups in the same way. You've got to deal with them individually. So that fairness increases between them. I don't want the small groups to be looking at the big groups and feel like the big groups are getting preferential treatment, or vice versa, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. Moving on, you have like kind of an entire section about approaching mental health, which I thought was interesting. You talked about having mental health criterion for councils and things like that. What would these be? What would people have to do?
So it's for the scrutiny panel. At the moment, there is a very loose criteria about how the officers sort of like function within their remits, and then when they report back to the scrutiny panel, they just have to send in the report and then answer questions, as I'm sure you know. But I want to bring a specific guideline in that requires all officers, when working in their remits, to have mental health as a consideration throughout. So this could come through the education officer constantly checking that they're, for example, the EC guidelines are changing to fit students' needs. It will be more of like a positive act in the recognition of mental health, just so that they can show this in their reports. Because mental health applies to all areas of, like all remits of the officers. So I think it's crucial that we have that in writing within the guidelines so that we can better achieve the combating of mental health.
You talked about lobbying the police in your section, about SU interaction with Lenton and the wider community. How would you go about doing that?
Well, of course, we've had dialogues with the police and it hasn't necessarily worked. I mean, we've made some progress. It's about continuing those dialogues, creating good relationships with the police. It's also about working with the Citizens Advice Bureau, because they have a research and campaigns department who will help us build our campaign and bolster it so we have more leverage against the police. But I also have another idea. They release a report every 3 months or so. And in the police's report from October 2019, the three main objectives didn't get at what students need at all. So there was nothing to do with sexual assaults, burglaries, nor racial profiling. So it's about using that report as a point of accountability and discussing with the police to get those three things put in their report, and then if they don't achieve them by the next 3 months when their report comes up, it's about holding them to account and holding open forums. But using a report like that, just like we do with the scrutiny panel, is an easy way to scrutinise the police.
And do you feel like ready to be able to scrutinise the police and kind of lobby them to support students?
Yeah, I think it's about time. I mean, the police, especially in Lenton, but of course in Dunkirk and Beeston and Radford and all these places that students live, it's been a long time coming. And as I say, especially in Lenton, it's pretty much all students. And even if families are living there, I'm sure they're probably sick of burglaries and stuff as well. And it's about time that we actually achieve this change. I feel like the groundwork is there for then me and hopefully community officer and stuff will build upon to finally make change, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not scared of continuing the process so that future officers as well can continue that process as well.
Okay. And final manifesto question, obviously kind of probably the big one for a lot of students who don't know too much about SU structure. Do you have the support of the Mooch staff to turn the venue into a nightclub on Saturdays?
I haven't spoken to the Mooch staff yet, I'll admit, but I was part of Melbourne Week when they had the music, which was a great event. So I know that Mooch staff are open to having club night-esque things. So hopefully we'll be able to build a relationship that extends that.
Okay, and finally, just any last thoughts from yourself, anything you'd like to say to kind of persuade students to vote for you?
A vote for Madeleine Fox is a vote for you.